JewishHistory.org presents Rabbi Beryl Wein's 5,000 Years of Jewish History. One video clip at a time. Clip number 73. World War I continues.
Because of the stalemate on the Western Front, among the plans advanced was one by Winston Churchill, which said that we should land an amphibious force in the Dardanelles over Turkey, the Ottoman Empire, which was allied with Germany. And by defeating the Turks, we would march up the soft underbelly, he called it, of Europe, and then capture Austria, and then reach Germany and outflank the entire trench warfare. Gallipoli was the place that they chose for the invasion. It was an absolute disaster. After 6 months, they were forced to withdraw, tens of thousands of casualties, mainly Australian and New Zealand troops. Churchill himself was forced to resign from the cabinet and took a position as being a frontline officer on the Western Front. This fascination with the Middle East, though, became part of British policy, as we'll see in a few moments. And the destruction wrought in the Western world by World War I forced new ideas to come as to how to somehow survive the war. One of the ideas was, and it's an interesting thing, the world, so to speak, believes its own propaganda. The world believes that the world is run by the Jews. You hear it all the time from the anti-Semites, from the Arabs, from everybody. The Jews are running the world. The Jews know that we're far from running the world, and our influence is very limited. But nevertheless, that became a matter of belief. And therefore, Germany entertained stating to the Zionist movement that when Germany will win the war, Germany will help the Jews make a state in the Palestine. When Britain got hold of that news, so therefore they wanted to preempt Germany. And the preemption of Germany was in the issuance of the Balfour Declaration, which was achieved through Chaim Weizmann and others. Weizmann was a chemist. He was the president of the World Zionist Organization. He lived in England during the war. He made a minor contribution to the British war effort by discovering a certain type of acetate formula that allowed the fuses on the shelves to explode at the proper time. Britain was having trouble with its shelves. And there were days that a million shells were fired one day on the Western Front. So through all of this, the Balfour Declaration gained somehow credence in the eyes of the British Foreign Office, the eyes of the British government. And in 1917, the Balfour Declaration was issued. It was a letter to Lord Nathan Rothschild, the head of the Jewish Board of Deputies, in which it said that His Majesty's government view would favor the establishment of a Jewish national home in Palestine. But of course, they had another clause to it. The other clause is, provided that it doesn't in any way affect anybody else. Well, if you make a Jewish national home in Palestine, it's got to affect somebody else. It's got to go against Arab interests at the time. The Jews chose to see the Balfour Declaration as a commitment to build a Jewish state. The Arabs refused to accept it. And the stage has been set for this unfortunate century-long struggle over the existence of a national Jewish home in Palestine. The World War ends in 1918. Germany was exhausted. They had made the mistake of conducting submarine warfare. They sank American ships. Woodrow Wilson, the American president, was forced to declare war on Germany. A few hundred thousand American soldiers came to France, and they tipped the balance because both sides were exhausted. And the fact that now you had fresh troops, new troops, the German army began to collapse. Germany had knocked out Russia in the meantime, but on the Western Front, they began to collapse. The German general staff asked for an armistice. November 11th, the 11th day of the 11th month and the 11th hour, the armistice was declared. World War I was over, but not really, because for the next 30 years almost, World War I would be repeated with more ferocity and more casualties than ever imagined. My name is Beryl Wine, and I thank you for watching.
For more on Jewish history, go to jewishhistory.org.